Check, check, check. Check one, check two. Welcome to another episode of The Alski Show. That's right. Check us out each and every Sunday on Anchor FM and other platforms. That's right. All right. What the fuck is going on with this coronavirus, man? This is fucking crazy. Insane. Oh, fuck. There we go with the Gallup. Fucking bitch. Check, 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 check. All right. Gallup is gone for now. All right. For those of you that don't know, my fucking equipment has a mind of its own. I'm not going to upgrade shit. Fuck that. It just makes it raw and uncut. All right. I want to thank my sponsors. Stickified. Gallery 448. Culture New York. Family 561. C. Gomez 220 at loopcolors.usa. That's right. Special thanks to them. Paint coming soon. Everybody get your order in. Gotta check this stuff out. It's really fucking good. All right. I also want to thank last week's interview, Cool Drip. That's right. Check out his page as well. All right. We got the 1718 Collective, March 21st, 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. All-female art exhibit. Who runs the world? And we know women do run the world. I mean, that's my opinion. If you ask me, I think God is a woman. All right. We got the shouts going out to New OTC, Rock 5, Ashtray, My Neck, Volume 1. Hotel, Funny Bones. That's right, Funny Bones. James over at Point Guard Limited. Sloan, TPA, Vent, FTR, Rep, KAC, Jims, Bomb Squad, SMF, The Original, ZC First, Dead Astronaut, Dead Astronaut in Space. God damn, that shit is too long, man. I ain't got my glasses on. What the fuck? Also, head on over to American Ink and Threads. Alski Show hats will be in soon. I didn't post them because I want to get them before I actually put them up for sale. Please support those that support you. Check out my website, altocrash.com. That's right. And last but not least, just give her buds. I guess, you know, you got to give her buds to get a piece of ass or something. I don't know what the fuck that means, but keep on benching up in Canada. All right. Now we got Broadway Arts, April 4th. Head over to their page. It's a Stick 'em Up sticker show out in Kingston, upstate New York. Once again, Broadway Arts, April 4th. Check it out. Now, this week, we have an OG, like me, KR1. That's right, he played Don 1 a few months back with the, in some studio, I forgot what it's called, Local Something, but we're going to get him on the phone. Got to try to sneak this in real quick because he's got things to do and, you know, it is what it is. What can I say? That's right. Check it out, baby. The Alski Show. Bringing it to you. Hello, hello.
Hey, Wayo.
Yes, hey, Wayo. Guess who? I thought you were fucking with me for a second. I heard it, and I was like, oh, fuck, man. Dead space already.
Why would I fuck around like that?
Well, you got to listen to the show. I fuck around all the time, so, you know, just join in at any time. You know, it's all
listen,
good.
Al, you're going to learn that I'm the fuck around king. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear. I've been.
Are we on the air right now?
No, we're not on the air. We're pre-recording.
Oh, but, you're recording it?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah.
Listen, I don't edit anything, so just so you know. I mean, you know.
Friday Night Live, baby, New York City, Corona down.
Yeah, there you go. Coronavirus in the house. That's so fucked up with this virus shit, man.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me, man? I just hope that it gets gone quick.
Yeah, well, you know what? A few months back, I wound up in the hospital for fucking 2 days. I felt like shit. I was hallucinating. You know, I don't do drugs and I don't drink alcohol anymore, or else I could understand. But I wind up going into the urgent care and the fucking, they test me for the flu. Comes back negative, but the doctor over there gives me the fucking, those pills for, to prevent the flu. I forgot what the fuck they were called. And
they're called the flu. Here's the flu.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway. So I wind up still feeling like shit. And I think it's now Sunday night, and I'm like, shit, man, I can't go to work. I felt fucking all fucked up. Wound up in the hospital, right? Because they sent me to the hospital. They say I'm dehydrated, all this shit. Me personally, I think that it was the coronavirus back then, but they just weren't saying anything because, like, I had a fucking throw up shit all at the same fucking time. It was fucking disgusting. I was out, you know, another 3 days from work, but you never
know. I had a bad flu last year, man. I haven't had the flu like that. I can't even remember the last time I got sick like that. I was in my bed. Was complete sweat. I was having nightmares every night. Yeah. And then I was sleeping like 15 hours, and then I just couldn't sleep anymore. And my bones were hurting. It was bad, bro.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Thank God it went away. So what's going on, man?
Same old shit, different day, man. You know, it's work, family life, you know, the show.
Somebody told me that when you're on the show, you get 15 cans of paint. So when do I get the paint?
Oh, really? Shit,
that's
man.
What I heard, man.
Let me
that's
know what company.
FC, Montana Black, man.
Nah, hey, listen, my sponsor's Loop.
Well, you got it. So I want whatever spray paint you can give me. I'm taking it.
Oh shit!
You've been drawing it all. I see these new pieces up on the internet.
Yeah, those are all old. They're just reposts.
They're all old.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you got to say what you got to say, right? I mean, yeah, they're old. Listen, I love to paint. You love to paint.
The weather's been sucking though, but it's starting to get nice out. So
yeah, well,
yeah, I gotta tell you for real, bro.
I gotta say,
I miss 5 points, man. A lot of people, like, they had problems with, you know, whatever, like, oh, you know, give me a good spot, and mirrors this or mirrors that. Yo, I thought that spot was dope. I mean, yeah, I used to take off from work and just go paint.
No, it was good, but
it was free, nobody bothering you. I mean, it got stupid when people found out about it, like busloads of people became like a tourist thing, and that's why it led to what it led to, because that guy found out. It's like, oh, people like this, it attracts attention. Let me just keep this going for a little while longer, and then everybody's out, and I'm going to sell everything. That's what he's going to do. Him and his father are going to wind up selling the whole complex for like billions of dollars.
Oh, of course. And then that's it.
But I used to going there a lot.
Yeah, I went there a few times. I also heard recently that, you know, the money that they're shelling out, I forgot what it was.
It's like $6.7 million goes to like 27 artists.
Yeah, what happened to me? I painted there. What the fuck?
I painted like 50 times. But you know what happened is when they put when they got doing the lawsuit, you know, we weren't part of that circle, I guess. I didn't know about that until after. And I know Mears and I know a few other people that, you know, were part of the lawsuit. I was a big proponent of 5 points. I did 2 shows out because I used to hold on. As I went there, you know, Mears got a lot of heat from people. I always gave him credit, man, because he had to deal with a lot of people, writers from all over the world. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess not. You know, like everything else, nothing lasts forever, but it was there for a while, man. I brought my kids there, you know. It was a lot of fun. It was free. It was just not free in terms of money. It was like a sense of freedom. Like, you all go over there with 20 cans of paint and do whatever you're going to do, and it goes for as long as it's going to go. And then, you know, you take photos or whatever, but, you know,
it was just a point of paint in there on the 7, you know.
That was cool, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, the thing with walls and like legal walls, illegal walls, trains, whatever, the thing that's going to wind up lasting the most out of all of that is black books. Because all the walls will eventually get painted over, or they'll destroy the building, or the piece will wear out. The trains are gone. Unless you unscrew the panel on the inside or an outside, all those pieces are gone.
Yeah.
So black books is really like something like, say, if you kept your first black book from when you were a kid, that you probably still have it, or you would have kept it, you know, if you had them or whatever. I lost my early black books, but
man,
I
tell you, I don't have nothing as far as black books.
Oh, that sucks.
No.
But dude, black books, you know, it's kind of a big thing. Like if you gave me your book and I burnt it up, and then I gave it back to you, and you gave me yours. I mean, I give you mine. You wind up keeping those things. They outlasted walls and trains.
No, this is true, but then again, you know, you got to also realize that sometimes you give your book out, you never get it back, you forgot who gave it to you.
Exactly. That's what happened to me.
My first
two black books, gone, man. I gave them to some kid on my block because his sister supposedly used to go out with AS2, and this guy AS2 used to kill the double R's back then. So I gave him my books to get those Brooklyn writers in. I never seen him again. I never seen him or my books again. This is like in like 1981 or 82 I gave them to him. I never seen him again.
Now, you're originally from?
Astoria.
I was
born in Harlem, but mm-hmm. I was raised in Astoria. Like the day after I was born, I was in Astoria.
Well, you have a big history. Yeah, I mean the writers you knew, the writers
I first got down with when I met KB TSS in 1979. At Hoyt Park. I met him through SN, and I showed him an outline. I even remember the way the piece looked. It was a block letter, and the character was a court jester. And he looked at me, and he's like, "You did this?" I'm like, "Yeah, I did that." He's like, "All right, do 10 throws and a double loss, and I'll put you in TSS." So TSS, then me and SN, Sick Nick, we formed BTB, which stood for Big Time Boys. And then I got down with RCA, and he put me in IRT, which was Invading Rapid Transit. Him and Mace were the president and vice. And then I met Dean, who was like besides meeting Don 1 year later, Dean was like the most old school guy he lived in Queensbridge, and he was all city. So this guy Jack brought him around. I used to go to junior high school with this guy Jack. He used to write Jack the Ripper, and he had a crew, BIT, Boys Invading Transit. He knew Dean. And then, years later, I wound up meeting Jace, who's the vice president of TSS. But it was all clean, like TPA, City, TSS. Then I got down with Roland RTW. I met Bill Rock and those cats in, like, 1980.
Right.
And, I mainly would put up TSS, TKC, Smoke's crew. He's from Astoria. Mafia, which is Don One's crew, of course. He was the baddest out of everybody, but I didn't know him until after the fact that Don One quit writing in 1977-78. He came back in 81. He did a Mr. Don One piece, but there's no photos of it, but I seen it. And then years later, I wound up meeting him in person. I don't know if you know, I wrote a book about him,
mm-hmm.
Don One, the King from Queens, and it's got...
That was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it came out in 2014, then unfortunately Don died in 2016, but it's a very highly sought-after book because Don, he was a photography major and art designer. He took photos of everything he did, pretty much everything he did, insides, outsides, and his contemporaries, with a 35mm camera. So he captured the double R's and the BMTs from 73 to 77. And the photos are truly never before seen photos. I know a lot of people are like, "Oh, never seen these before." Those pictures were never seen before. Maybe five people that knew him seen them. But anyway, unfortunately, he passed away, and I'm so glad that I was able to get him because a lot of people, he would have been forgotten. And I mean, the guy influenced Dondi, bro. There's only maybe three people I could say that. Don One from Astoria, Queens, an Italian American. Influenced like one of the most famous graffiti writers in the world, from New York, that is. Dondi was still not doing Wild Burners until a couple of years after Don quit, but according to my friend Dio, CIA, Dondi had photo albums that only had photos of his work in it, but he had several Don One pieces. I mean, the Dondi's tag, D-O-N, it's the first three letters is Don's whole tag, so, Dondi hit the BMTs,
but
in Brooklyn.
You do know what Dondi's real name is, though, right?
Yeah, his name is Donald White.
Right, okay. So, yeah.
He's Italian and African-American.
Yes, he is. Absolutely.
Well, I know his brother. I know his brother, Michael. He runs his estate.
I interviewed Michael last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, great interview. Great.
You know, he wound up working for the MTA, but not when Donnie was hitting trains.
Yes, he brought that up as well.
That
was a real good interview. You should go back and definitely
check that out. Yeah, he's good to and talk
actually,
to. He's got a little
Yeah, absolutely. That's when FC reached out to me and he was like, "You gotta interview KR1." And we were supposed to do an interview. I think it was 2 years back. You and I, and it just never fell through, and finally got you to now.
Yeah.
But it was like two or three. It was like two or three times that we were supposed to do it.
I know.
You know, and then I remember when the book came out about Don One, and Don One is a Queens legend, if not a legend.
Oh, without a doubt.
Period.
Yeah, he definitely was.
You know, it's a shame when people just pass away. I mean, God only knows how far
if I didn't meet him, I used to tell people about him since I found out about him. I would be like, you got to check out this guy, Don One. Where's his pieces? And, they were all buffed. But thank God that he took photos because he kind of captured his own history, and then I found him and brought the history back out so that now people are like, yo, this guy was dope, but they never even heard of him. Like, this guy's writing to me from Italy that are doing, they're doing Don One Mafia pieces in Italy. They would have never heard of Don One, and that's the present.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought I gave him. There was no monetary reason for me to do this. I did it to put a light on a guy's life who got really the shit under the stick, man. That guy he suffered a lot, Don One. He OD'd on angel dust in 78. And then he went, he became a recluse, never came out of his house, just bugging out. And then, the way he died was that he fell in his house and he broke a bone in his neck, and they took him to the hospital and he got paralyzed from the neck down. And then,
oh, shit.
Yeah, that's how he died, man. He died in a home. I used to go see him, and when you're in those places, you don't get the attention that you require. And
wow,
I think he suffocated,
absolutely,
to be honest with you, because I walked in on him one time, and he couldn't breathe, and I had to move him and position him better in his bed. And then his brother told me that they lost him, but he was a real talented guy. You got to see the way this guy used to draw, not only graffiti, but Don is probably the first writer to go from like the layups and train yards right to publications. He did the cover of Cherry Magazine, which is a porno magazine.
Oh, shit.
Cover November 79. And then he used to do illustrations and airbrush work that they would put in the magazine. So he went right from Parsons, which he hated, and started getting gigs. He started going around with his portfolio, with his logos, because he was an airbrush master and a great illustrator as well. Besides graffiti and lettering, the guy's airbrush and his illustrative skills were probably better than his graph. Graph was still kind of a developing art form, and he was right there with the best of them. But God bless Don One, bro.
That's amazing. Tell us about that show that you did for him.
I did a one-man show. It's called Pumpin' Cool, because I'm an actor, and I hung out with Don for hours and hours and hours throughout the years to get these interviews together that I kind of did an uncanny like rendition of how he used to talk. I'm able to imitate him to the point of where, I would crack him up. He would start laughing so much. I even did it for his family, for his mom, and she would laugh and stuff like that. But he was a character, man. He was a real cool dude, man. He's a victim. He became a victim of the pharmaceutical industrial complex as well, because they were just giving him. He OD'd on angel dust, right? And he couldn't get rid of the hallucinations and the hearing voices unless he took this massive amount of medicine that they would give you in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Right,
it was terrible. He got no more talk therapy And he just used to, you know, here, take this, here, take this, here, take this. He was on like 10 different medications just to get him almost where he could function. You know, he was very afraid of people. He would just wanted to stay home. But, you know, so I did this show. I put together a few moments that I shared with him, and I did it all. You know, I imitated myself and him. You know, I played myself and him, and I put together like a beginning, middle, and ending, and it came off, man. I did it in Long Island City. I had about 120.
What was the name of that place? I forgot what it was, because I actually shouted it out when you were getting ready to do that.
Oh, it was that. It's a place called The Local. What it is actually, it's a hostel. And what I did was I turned it into a kind of a showcase area, because when you walked in, there was like a big bar, and then in the back, there was a lounge area, but I made the lounge area be where I performed it. I'm planning on doing it again, like in a theater setting.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, because it deserves that. You know, people couldn't hear me. I wasn't really mic'd. There was some technical things. It was like a little bit of amateur hour, but I kind of knew it was going to be that way. I just wanted to get it off the ground and show people how this guy was, man. Because, you know, Gear, there's only a few guys from anywhere that knew him and could relate to how he was. But that when he got sick, you know, it was like another part of his life that no one ever really saw. A few people did. And I had I brought it out to honor the guy, to do a tribute. It wasn't like to make fun of him, or because a lot of people found humor in it because he was very humorous. But it's not, it wasn't funny. The guy went through a lot. And I actually, when I did it after I performed it, you know, I had to take a break because I went through all that emotion with him. You know, I felt a lot of pain from him. But you know, anyway, he was one of my biggest influences when I was a kid. So the story, you know, the graffiti writer is kind of the backstory. It's really about a kid who meets his idol, and his idol falls on, like, you know, bad times. But then the kid, he revitalizes the idol by, you know, validating him through a book and showing people this is who the guy really was, man. This is how great this guy was. And the sadness, the tragic sadness is that he wound up dying like 2 years after the book came out. But at least I showed it to him, and he got it, and he was very proud. And it took like 9 years for that book to come out.
Wow.
From the time I met him to the time I got signed with Schiffer Publications, it was about 9 years. But I got to really know him and hang out with him, you know. And he was great. He was a great person to hang out with. He just had, you know, his brain got hurt, you know, and that's what happened. It's like when people walk around, if somebody has a broken arm, you could see the cast, right? But if a person has a broken mind, if they don't talk to you or anything, you can't tell anything's wrong with them, you know. So it was all, you know, his experiences that came out, and I wrote about them. And, you know, I promoted it as well as I could. You know, I did a bunch of shows for it. He wouldn't come because there was a lot of people. But I filmed him one time, and I posted it on Facebook of him saying, you know, thank you for showing up, and I wish you could be there. So a lot of people found him to be the artist that he truly was, man. And the people who knew him when he was younger, they really got to meet one of the best that ever came out of New York City graffiti in the 70s. Man, I mean, he was like a superstar.
Now you got me wanting to find that fucking book. You got any more?
Oh, it's easy to get, man. It's on Amazon. They'll mail it right to your house for like $23.
Shit.
It's on Amazon. And then it led to one of the other good things that came out of that is that they signed me for another book, which was a book about all my art from when I was a kid. And that has like 400 pictures. And it's called Color Storm. I'm working on another one, like a part two of that, but it might not be as big. But I'm always doing stuff. I always, you know, I'm always trying to be creative and positive with all this other garbage that's been going around these days. But that's what I do, man.
Gotcha. Are you driving with your window down?
No, it's really windy. I'm actually going to meet my son because we're going to go to the movies, and I'm outside the theater.
Oh, you're outside the theater? Holy shit.
What? Yeah, it's windy outside.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, fucking weather's like a fucking on and off switch. I mean, it's fucking
pathetic. Tell me about it.
It is.
I know. It was really nice out today.
Yeah, it was. But now, you know, you go out and it's windy out. I mean, by sure me, then, it's fucking sure. Pretty cool out.
Yeah, it's going to get nice soon. You know, it's going to get nice soon. We're going to have springtime. And
yeah, and then we're going to complain that it was fucking, that it's too hot.
You got to stop complaining, Al. What are you doing?
I complain about everything. I mean, that's my nature.
Did you eat dinner yet?
Oh, yeah. I had a quick one. Because now, you know, you go to the supermarket and fucking,
yeah,
they're all wiped out, right? So my wife decides, you know what, let me play it safe, let me stay home. She puts in an order through the supermarket to be delivered, and like half of the money's like fucking reimbursed because they didn't have half of the shit. Like, you got bread is a high commodity. Toilet paper,
I know.
Disinfectants. I heard that Purell shit for your hands, it's non-existent right now.
It's like $20 on Amazon. It costs like $3 regularly. That's on Amazon.
Yeah, I saw a post on eBay for $200 for a fucking toilet paper. For that, I'll take a dollar and wipe my ass. That's
toilet paper that's already been it's used, so it's recycled toilet paper.
Listen, people, for those of you listening, if it does come to the point where there's no toilet paper, get the old T-shirts, throw them out. You know what I'm saying? Get your wife's fucking pads, wipe your ass, throw them out.
Oh.
You know? If not, if you don't have any type of fucking paper or fucking clothing that you want to get rid of, you know, take a shit.
You're shitting all over the house.
And jump in the fucking shower. What the fuck?
Shit in the sink.
Shit, shower, shave. That's all.
Listen, Al, I got to get in here because I'm going to wind up missing. We're going to see Bloodshot.
Okay, well, anyway, normally we go longer. Just to clarify the air. No, no problem at all. No problem at all. What I'd like to do, I'd like to invite you back when there's more time. And everybody, you know, just check out the original, KR1.
My man.
And, you know, we'll get him back on the show for sure. And try to cop that book off of Amazon.
That's right. Don Juan, the King from Queens.
The King
from
Queens. There you go.
That's right. I got to plug it up.
Plug it up. You go. You do what you got to do. I'm going to shoot some shit with my listeners real quick. And
okay.
I'm going to get you again real soon.
All right, Al. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Enjoy the movie.
Have a good one. You too, bro.
Take care. Peace. All right, people. A little interview cut short. I needed to get him on. Unfortunately, he had plans, and he was like, I'm sorry, you know, living altercations, you know, the son lives with the mom. I don't even think I should be saying this, but just so you know, he's a great guy, great graffiti writer, and at the moment, he's pursuing acting, and like you heard, you know, publishing books. So, check out his page, the original KR1 from Astoria. I hear nothing but good things about him. I never met him in the past. I heard plenty about him, and it's kind of sad when your idol just slips away in front of your face, like Don did with KR1. The other thing is I'm going to actually try right now. I mean, I know I'm a little short on time, which is always a good thing because, you know, people are probably saying fucking Alski talks too much. But let's see if I could get Sloan on the phone real quick because he's definitely going to be joining me to do interviews at least once a month to see how it goes. And let's see if he picks up the phone. I know he's a little tight at work today, and when we have our conversations on our commutes home, we always get cut off at the same spot over and over and over again. Well, he's not shit.
Please leave your message
we don't want to get that message out, that phone number out anyway. So, well, my sidekick definitely must be busy. Oh, should I try him one more time? He's probably going to say, what the fuck do you want? But anyway, let's see. Let's give him one more shot. I gotta rile him up though to keep him on the phone for a few minutes if he answers the phone. It ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen. All right. Well, I'll cut him some slack. Let me try to get one more person. Shit, I should just dial someone from my phone and fucking prank them, but that shit don't work anymore because I don't have that Star 67 shit. Let's see if FC picks up the phone. FC's pretty tight with him, and he's the one that put me on to a lot of his shit. And let's also see how FC's feeling. He had a little run-in with another skater. Fucking old guy skateboarding, doing a shoot, fucking collides with some kid and...
Yo,
before you say anything stupid, I was on the phone with KR1. I don't even know how long we were on the phone for. It wasn't even a half hour. And he had sort of a date with his son for the movies. He was like, yo, I'm sorry. I'm like, no problem, man. I'm going to get you back on the show anyway. So I just did like a recap talking about him and the book about Don Juan and his book as well. Maybe you could shed some light on KR1 as well. I'm going to keep you for a few minutes, but before we talk about him and yourself, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling like a $10 bill. No, I'm only kidding.
Well, I put it out there real quick that, you know, you're a fucking old fuck like me, and you were doing some type of fucking shoot, fucking video, whatever the fuck it was, and you know, you decided that the places get impact, and all of a sudden you have a fucking collision with some other kid, and boom, broken ribs.
Yep.
Yeah, now, exactly. That shit didn't feel good.
No, I figure when I skate, you know, at the fastest is usually about 20 miles an hour. So when I collided with this dude, my body just like did like a pirouette, and I wound up spinning in the air and changed directions, and my waist landed on a steel rail that's like 2 feet off the ground.
Oof.
So that's like having a car accident, because that stopped me dead in my tracks.
Wow.
Knocked the wind out of me.
Yeah, I could imagine.
So by the time I came to,
For anybody,
you know, I rolled off the rail and I felt all the clicking. So I was like, I knew what that was.
Oh yeah, I've broken my ribs twice, so believe me, I know the feeling, and it's not fun, especially like if you laugh and you know, you get off the bed wrong, you're in pain. If you fucking fought, you're in fucking pain. I mean, it's pathetic.
Yeah,
it's pathetic.
I didn't cough for 6 weeks, so that was good. I was able to do that.
Yeah, that's fucking.
I sneezed once, I think about 3 or 4 weeks in, and that just brought me right back to how it was when I first got hurt.
Horrible. So
yeah.
How is your relationship with KR1? Because I remember a couple of years back you were like, oh man, you should check out this guy, and you know, it's from Astoria, so on and so forth, that you brought up the Don Juan book and everything. We were supposed to do that interview God knows how many times for the past few years, never happened. Finally happened today for a few minutes. I am definitely gonna get him back on the show so he could, you know, shoot more shit and you know, let people know basically what he's up to other than his acting career. Yeah. So how tight are you with him? Because you've been mentioning KR1 to me forever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, through me researching writers, because I'm always interested in knowing the guys before me. You know what I mean? So it would be late 80s, early 90s. You know, I started remembering or looking at photos and seeing, oh yeah, look, there's a writer from the Double R's, which is a Queens writer, and you know, I was also interested in KB, and you know, he also went by Savage, you know, which is a really fresh name. And
the problem is, it's too many fucking letters, photos, man.
Yeah, I stumbled across some KR pieces, window down pieces and stuff on the Double R's, And I was always interested. I was like, dude, I got to get to know, like, I want to know my borough writers, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Even Brooklyn or Bronx, whatever, but mainly Queens.
Mainly Queens.
So, lo and behold, years down the road, we're talking like late 90s, I'm in construction. And the guy that I'm working with, he was like, dude, I noticed you're into writing, man. Like, you got this shit all over your tools. It's all over your tool belt. It's everywhere. You're always, like, doodling. And he's like, you know, my brother-in-law is this ill writer from Astoria. He is a bomb in this. So I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I'll introduce you to him when you come to my barbecue, because we have a barbecue at his house every year.
Right.
So I go to his house. We're all having this barbecue, and there's this loudmouth Italian dude comes up. He's like, "Oh, so this is the guy you've been talking to me about, Andy?" And I was like, "Yeah, this is you know Benny. He goes by FC, and you know Louis's like FC. Oh, EE, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Man, I see." And I'm like, KR? And he's like, yeah, come over to my house real quick, because he lives right across the street. So we go down in his basement,
mm-hmm.
and literally, as soon as I take the first step, open the door, it's like, wow, like, yo, lightning bolts, dude. I'm talking about artwork all over the place, black books, like, everything. And then I see a drum set, and he's like, yeah, you know, I play the drums. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah, I'm really good. He's like, yo, you never heard of Cro-Mags? And he was going down the list of bands. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on a second. I was like, that's you? Bro, it's just like, forget about it. He's in the hardcore scene. I've been in the punk and hardcore scene. Never put two and two together. The same thing with Mackie, you know? Never knew that Mackie was actually, you know, the drummer of the Bad Brains and the Cro-Mags and all these other bands that I love, that he was the writer of Mackie RTW. So
yeah, I was just going to say, you're talking about Mackie RTW, but you know, I don't want to sound like an asshole, so I just let you finish it off.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, dude. It's such a small world. Like,
it's amazing how many people are into that. Me, honestly, I can't get into that. I can't. I'll go see Danny Diablo, you know, when Scam's in town, you know, just because they're the brothers, you know what I'm saying? Scam, a Corona brother, known him since he was fucking 2 feet tall, you know, his brother Nam, my bombing partner. So, you know, it's just out of love. But that interview that we did, we had Sev One, we had Danny Diablo, we had Hoya, MQ, yourself, Scam, Nam. It was fucking amazing. But at the same time,
that
it
was like planets aligning, you know, in the universe. Like,
yeah, man, it's fucking amazing. And I gotta say, I love Danny Diablo. I remember the first time my son Rocco saw him at my house. I actually interviewed him in my house. You were there. My son Rocco looked at him like, holy shit. You know, because he has the tattoos and all that. And I remember I took Rocco with me over to Brooklyn to see all you guys. And, you know, he remembered my son. It was cool, you know. You know, for my son, it was really a kick. And, shit, I even went down to the bar, you know, and I remember him and his girlfriend that said, hey, why don't you guys come? And I actually took my wife, and it's, you know, they dance in there and shit. And me and my wife had a fucking blast. People were looking at us like we were fucking nuts. But, you know, you gotta have fun sometimes. But the whole crew, DMS, all those other guys that are into the hardcore, it's, you know, I respect them. I really do. And,
that's the thing with New York City in itself, the five boroughs. There are so many things going on, not so much now, but back then, that, you know, each world would cross paths. You know, like, I was into b-boying, and skateboarding. And I was in the grass scene.
Yes,
so
you
it's
were.
Like, you know, in those three worlds alone, it this that's like, you know, you could spend one day, you know, you could start your morning skating, then go and, you know, go to a matinee hardcore show, and then after the hardcore show is done, you go out and you bomb.
Yep.
You know? And then do the whole shit all over again.
That's right.
But
and the funny thing is I used to live a block away, and we never ever met then.
Right.
And I must say, you are a true friend to me. You always have been, nothing but a gentleman. And you know, it's amazing because you know, we pick up the phone and we shoot the shit every once in a while, and it's great.
It
really is. And you know, with all the shit going on in the world today, it's kind of hard to keep up with a conversation now and then. But I actually when I got off the phone with him, I was like, you know what? My commute home, I was talking to Sloan, and me and Sloan talk a lot, you know, when we're driving home from work, and I always cut him off, not me, but I get a dropped call where I live in the same spot
every
fucking day. So he actually didn't call me back, and I didn't call him back. So I was like, let me see if I could get Sloan on, because he was pissed about work and that coronavirus shit. So I gave him a call. He didn't answer. And then I was like, you know what? Because me and KR were on the phone for, you know, maybe a half hour. And I was like, but who's not better to call than FC? And you pick up the phone. And that's a great thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have introduced me to plenty of fucking writers. You know, writers that definitely were cut short of, you know, being popular, and I'm not in a bad way, but you know, there's a lot of old writers out there that deserve a lot of credit that really don't get it. And that's why I love doing the show, because I could get these guys on. And when I do, even yourself, you know, you shoot out fucking Savage and Mackie, you know, and it's like, wow, shit, someone listening is going to say, fuck, I remember them. And that's the great thing about the podcast, is that people get to reminisce, you know, from something that they didn't even think would be possible. So that's a great thing.
Yeah.
But
we live in a spider web. I'd like to, you know,
in a robotic world,
get that image out.
Yeah.
It's
well,
a spider web.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're in the spider web, and one way or another, we're all freaking connected. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what scene you're in.
Well, I say that all the time.
But
I mean, it is amazing. I mean, come on, B-boys, MCs, DJs, skaters, kids on the BMXs, you know, motorcycles. I mean, it's so amazing how it all connects some way, somehow. The graphic art involved in all of these cultures all resort to graffiti. Some way or somehow, even advertisement today is taken from graffiti, whether you believe it or not. I mean, look at the MTA. The MTA's combating graffiti, right? But every often, what do you see on the side of a train? A fucking big sticker advertising Target or whatever the fuck they're advertising. And come on, you don't mean to tell me that someone came up with that brainstorm, hey, listen, you know, let's put something on the train. I mean, they used to write graffiti on them, right? So why don't we do, you know, some advertisement and get even more money instead of just the little advertisements on the inside? So graffiti goes a long way, down to, you know, your supermarket guy that draws on the chalkboard. You know, he draws a funny looking lettuce head, lettuce fucking 99 cents. So it's all connected. It's all connected. That's the way I look at it. And you yourself, I mean, I credit you a lot as well, because when I came back into the graph game, you and I painted a few times. And for those of you that don't know, FC and myself, we did two Dondi tributes, which were fucking fabulous. Fabulous. I couldn't have pulled it off without you, period. And I remember calling you, and I was like, yo, what do you think, bro? You think we could hit Tough City and do this? And you were like, fuck yeah. And we did.
Absolutely.
And that actually got Michael White emailed me, and I remember I sent you a copy of the email, and
I was bugging.
Yeah,
I was bugging out.
He was like, finally, no, the New York writers
that's
that
awesome.
Had the balls to pull it off and actually did. I never ever forget that shit. And I give that to you. And I remember a few times that we went out painting, and you were like, "Nah, you ain't done. You ain't done. Add this, add that, add this, add that." Me, I got the mentality of back in the 80s, 90s. You know, do your Quicksilver, fucking black, boom, gone. See you later. But nah, FC is the guy that pushes you to the limit, tries to get the best out of everyone. And I'm sure you like that with everybody you ever encountered. And that I thank you for.
Oh yeah.
You know,
almost got trench foot and. Fucking lost the toe.
Oh, fuck yeah. Dude, I've said that story several times. For those of you that do remember, we're painting down by the 7 yard underneath the bridge, and it's snow, and we're waiting for somebody that went in the car and was just warming up the car. Either they were going to sleep there or something. We decided that, yo, fuck this. You know, it was freezing out. There was snow everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the best thing is that all of a sudden I see FC just go bloop. And I was like, oh, shit. And it's snow. I remember pulling off my glove and my hand got hotter with the glove off. Now, aerosols blowing, the fucking caps were getting stuck to the fingertips, all that shit. And
I won't forget it. It was with the wind chill 15 below.
Yeah, and, so. And again, that was a time that you were like, nah, you ain't done. Add this, add that. And meanwhile,
exactly.
I'm saying to myself, yo, it's fucking cold out, man. And I got to say, the Bulls, he parks his car by the junkyards by Shea Stadium. And I'm like, yo, dude, you're going to leave your car here? He's like, yeah, fuck that. And we did. And we did. And it was a fucking adventure and a half. Trekking down that little fucking hill from where we snuck in from, and then to get out. Oh my God, what a fucking night that was, man! That was fucking aces. I would do it all over again, definitely.
To get back to Louis, he reached out to me because this was in 2000. Gotta be 12 or 11.
Hmm.
No, 2013 or 14. And he was like, the book's coming out. I finally finished his Don Juan book. We're going to Hyena's skate shop. Hyena had a skate shop out in Long Island. It was called Good Things.
Mm-hmm.
And he was hosting the whole thing. You know, they got together. I was like, oh, this is great. You know, and then we got the Toro skate team to do like a skate demo.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so we got these Masonite boards, and I attached it to the side of the skate shop. So I did a life-size subway car with replicating one of Don Juan's pieces.
Nice.
So Louis, at the time, he was like, all right, we were already communicating, but mind you, he hasn't worked yet. You see my graph, which is whatever nonsense, that's just playing around. So I wound up replicating his car with the help of Hyena and DSR, and you know, we get this thing done. And again, I'm not stopping until this shit's perfect. I'm using paintbrushes and fucking spray paint, and we're knocking it out quick. And Louis' jaw dropped. He's like, who the fuck are you? How come I don't know about you, bro? This is ridiculous. Like, totally flipped his wig. And ever since then, we're like, you know, super tight.
So, yeah, he seems like a funny character. I mean, the more I talk to him, the funnier he is. And
he's a riot.
I definitely got to meet up with him. I mean, you know, he's not really
truly
painting the graph.
York, you know what I mean?
But, oh, yeah, he's definitely old New York. He's old Paisan New York.
Yeah,
you know,
and now he's doing performances, live performances, right? And he's playing Don Juan.
Yes, we covered
he has
that
the
real
ability.
Real
he's an
quick
actor now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's playing the role of Don Juan, and it sucks because I was supposed to meet Don Juan. We scheduled a meeting, and he wound up getting sick.
Right.
And then I was like, all right, well, when things are okay, whatever, he wound up passing away, and I missed my opportunity. And yeah. One I regret.
Life's too short sometimes, but,
yeah. But that Don One was a true, you know, individual that was talented beyond anybody's imagination, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Wise, illustrative-wise, you know, he was doing cartoons and illustrations for top magazines in the late 70s.
Right.
You know
and,
what
he,
I mean?
And he did the cover for Cherry.
And it's funny because no one... Everybody talks about this writer, that writer, this writer, this writer, and Don One never comes up. I'll just sit and listen to all these conversations and shit, and it's like, why are they burying this guy? Because he's from Queens? Like, or forgotten, and he's pretty much forgotten because he was on the cause for a short period of time, and then life got in the way, you know, and then if you look into the book and you read the story, I'm not going to get into all the details, but that's a king. That dude is a king. You know what I mean? And legendary Don D, right? CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think that Don came from?
Yeah, it's funny because Lou brought that up as well.
Learn about it.
Regardless, his name is Donald.
Yeah.
But
there was another Don.
Yeah, someone did bring that up to me prior, not you and not KR1. Someone had brought that up to me. I don't remember if it was. I don't want to quote and then be wrong, but it was one of the old school TPA guys. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And they said something to that effect, and I remember James Top had brought something up as well about Don D and his style.
You'll hear about Don One, like if you spend maybe a week with the top writers that you know that are alive today and talk, you'll maybe hear a quick sentence about, oh yeah, that guy Don One from Mafia Crew.
Yeah, you know, I always love the fact
artist,
of Mafia,
you know,
Crew.
Massive administration for insane
artists. And
yeah.
I loved it for the simple fact that, hey, I'm Italian, you know. I would see these fucking tags with Mafia along the tail end of it, and it was pretty fucking cool to me. Lo and behold, Mafia, was pretty iconic.
Yeah, for the time, he was a style master.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Don One, forget about like the pipe lettering or the mechanical lettering he was trying to do. If you just look at his tags, they'll blow you out of the water. I try to replicate his tag. I had to sit and spend over an hour trying to learn how the fuck he did it. And that was only one style. He's got like a good 80. He's got a black book where it's just alphabets, double page alphabets, and each double pager is a different font that he created.
Right.
People know about this? No. Another writer that was like a teammate of his is Dime 139 that recently passed away.
Right, yeah.
Amazing. Dude, amazing stuff, man. Amazing.
Well, Astoria had some fucking heavy hitters.
Astoria.
Yeah.
Crazy writers, man.
Yeah, go figure, man.
You know?
Go figure. One of the oldest writers that I remember from Astoria.
How about Conan?
Well, yeah, Conan. Well, Conan was from Corona, wasn't he?
I don't know where he's from, but you want to talk about, like, superstar?
Dude, he had fucking
Conan,
shit slammed on the fucking 7. I remember. Shit.
Yo, I got a Monopoly game waiting for me. With my son and my girlfriend, so
everybody's busy except me. Well, actually, I got my kids are home for 2 weeks. They closed down the schools to clean them up. I actually got kind of fucking screwed. I was told to go into work tomorrow morning, which ruined my whole entire fucking weekend. But it is what it is. So now I get to spend some time with my family as well, and I just want to thank you for picking up the phone, and I'm glad you're doing better. And people, KR1, check out the original KR1 on Instagram. We all know Sloan TPA. Check him out. Rest in peace, Don One. And FC.
Rest in peace, Phase 2. Omni-156.
No, so many. Go ahead.
EA-1.
Listen, if you want to rattle off some rest in peace and shout outs, man, let me get some background music. Let me at least finish my show official. You know, I got kind of fucking bamboozled, bro.
Listen, it goes on. There's just so much.
Yeah, well, it does.
You know,
it does.
Wex won from Corona.
Yeah, there you go. God, give me some more. I'm gonna get some music on. Hold on, you can give me a fucking second, right? Hold on, let's get the. See, I'm not even ready to do this, but you know what? We're gonna do it right now. So, all right, let's get the little music on. All right, there, FC Gas Crew, rattle them off, Shit, all right. Man, I don't think I got the music on. What the fuck is going on here? All right, here, watch. I'm gonna fuck it up. There it is. Okay, music's in the background. The Owlski Show, always fucking something up. FC, take it away.
All right, let's do some rest in pieces. Just, I'm going to go with the most recent, okay? Because, like, we could be here all night.
No, but you got that right.
We're going to talk about Phase 2, Stan 153, Omni 156. Oh God! Here we go.
Zexa.
Well, Zexa is like a young cat. You know, that was a vicious bomber. That was really
monster.
Going to be sorely missed. Wex from Corona. Wex one. Let's talk about OZ 156.
Wow,
that guy was awesome.
Wow.
Right.
Shit.
Angel Duster.
Of course, TSK crew.
Yeah. Who most recently? Like I just had a few on my mind, and they're like,
oh my god! You know what's so sad about that? Not that I forget.
Life gets
it's
my brain's in five
so,
places right now.
Yeah, it's so fucked up how so many writers have passed. I mean, you got you got Spock from the Freights that passed away.
Oh,
DG years back passed away.
Oh yeah,
if you want to rattle PG. People that passed, oh my God, Diva, rest in peace.
Yeah, I mean,
Diva.
We got it. On and on, VE.
Yeah, VE which is
amazing. Like VE. Yeah, VE. When he started writing, you know, I was hanging out with him, and he was like into skating a little bit, but then his focus went more to graph. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he went in head first. And just kept going, never looked back. I heard so much about VE. I never had the pleasure of meeting him, but his name does live on through many. Yeah. You know, shout out to FTR.
A lot of guys were trying to pull me into like the full time bomber thing, and I was just like, nah. I mean,
yeah,
bomber I want.
You did your damage, and you paint whenever you want to paint, regardless.
Yeah. I was more into piecing, you know. I'll drop a piece on a corner in like 5 minutes. That was my thing. Like,
well, listen, I can vouch for you. You could use any type of paint. You'll have a cap for every type of fucking paint. You actually use Valspar. Fucking Valspar. And you made it look like a fucking... Oh, my God. Yo, I've been doing a lot of hammering lately, but you know what I use? I use the key. You know the key they use for the demo saws to take the blade off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
sharpen the fucking tip and I carry it with
beautiful.
Me wherever I go because of you. Because the first time I ever saw a can explode was with your hammer in the Bronx.
Oh man.
So yeah. I have fun with it now. I've gotten rid of a lot of dead shit.
I specifically ask people for cans that don't work. Please.
Yes.
Send them to me.
Yes.
I'll take care of them.
That's right. Or send them to me. I'll give you some.
I've refined the process of popping a can. So I have several tools. If I want like a calligraphy style,
right.
I use a 5-in-1 tool. I have the corkscrew, the T-handle type for the wine bottle.
Right.
So I pop a little hole in the can with that, and I could just do like hair.
Nice. You know? Shit, like, I gotta try that now.
Head. You know, and it depends on the paint too, because some shoot out faster than the other.
Absolutely. You know, I can vouch for that.
You got to worry about the pressure and stuff. But some cans, I'll whack them and they'll literally explode.
Yeah, I've whacked some cans that sounded like they farted and nothing came out. And I'm like, motherfucker. And then I go put it down and the paint's dripping all over my fucking leg. And it's like, come on.
Yeah,
dude, you know what I used recently? I used a graffiti remover towelette to fucking clean my face. Because I was told as we were walking, yo, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You look like you went through a paint tunnel. And I was like, shit, man. Fucking so, you know, rushed back to the car, popped the trunk open, and I was like, wiping my face with this shit that takes paint off of fucking trains. And I'm like, I hope I don't get fucking sick, but I had to get it off, you know? But the pop in a can shit is classic. It's legendary from you to
I'm
me.
Yeah, I'm sure there's many guys that did it, but I took it a little further. I made it like,
You actually would have been proud. Faster. You would have been proud. My son is getting into the graph thing, right? I take him with me.
Yeah.
So he goes, Dad, you know, we're gonna pop some paint again? And I was like, yeah. He goes, I got a game plan. So I was like, you know, let me hear it. So now he goes to me, all right, listen, I'm going to bring a hefty bag with us, all right? You go where you're going to pop. And I'm going to throw you a can. Pop them, drop them, I'll chuck them, you catch them, pop them, drop them. And let me tell you something.
Now that's hot potato. That's how you play
yes,
hot potato.
Yes, yes. And I must say, with the help of my son and BZ, I did an end-to-end in under 10 minutes.
End-to-end.
And the process of the popping was quick. And of course, Silver's, you know, with a fat cap, you could fucking paint the side of the Empire State Building. So,
I'm sure.
Under 10 minutes, done. Yep. Fucking wrapped up, gone. See you later.
Quick story, and then I got a dip.
Yes.
So the whole popping thing began, I would say, 93, 94.
Mm-hmm.
We had. The gas crew had so many. Well, wasn't gas. It was more ESP crew.
Right.
You know, and then we changed over in 92, late 92, 93 to gas crew. But we had a lot of cans that didn't work. And it was like, oh, what do we do with these? You know, we're going to throw them away or whatever. And I was just like, yo, let's just hold on to them. So I accumulated something like 80 cans.
Wow.
And then we also had scraps from, you know, bombs and pieces and everything throughout my cans.
Mm-hmm.
So I put them all in hefty bags. I had about four hefty bags. Threw them in the back of the car, in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
We went over to Cunningham, and it was 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So we started a fire in, you know, the five-gallon drum.
Yeah.
Do I need to go further?
Yeah, go ahead, because I know what happened. That shit is fucking funny.
So we spent the whole night dropping cans into the fire.
Kaboom!
And let me tell you. It was some sight, bro. It was raining paint at some points. Like full cans when they blow up.
Oh,
it was raining paint.
Man. Yeah, I could only imagine. Shit, it rained on me. You know, doing that
shit.
Yeah,
you know, Old English. We were drinking Ole and
wow,
blowing it up.
Bringing back the Yowie.
That was the 4th of July.
And there you go. Happy 4th.
All right, Alski.
All right.
On that note,
well,
I gotta...
You stay well.
Thanks for the call.
We'll talk soon, and thanks for picking up the phone. Go enjoy the movie with your girl and your son, and we'll talk soon.
Monopoly.
Yeah, KR went to the movies. Never mind. He even said what movie he was going to. I forgot. But anyway, all right, man. You have a great night, great weekend. We'll talk soon, and you have a good one.
All right, bro.
Good night.
Later.
All right, everybody. Night. Every Sunday, the Alski Show. This one was a little bit off, a little weird, but then again, another one under the belt. Thank you to all you listeners out there. Thank you to my my sponsors, Stickified, Gallery 448, Family 561, Culture New York, C. Gomez 220 at loopcolors.usa. Thank you to everybody that sends care packs to OT City. P.O. Box 676. Get the rest of the information off of outtocrash.com. I have pins for sale. I got sticker packs for sale. I got custom t-shirts, my t-shirts, canvases. Price is always right. Support those that support you. And once again, each and every Sunday, Anchor FM and many other platforms, you can catch the Alski Show. If not, just Google the Alski Show. Anybody wants to copy and repost the shows, by all means, thank you. Let's spread the word. We are worldwide, and I just want to take it to the top and keep it up there for many, many years to come. Anybody has any suggestions, please do so by DMing me, or also DM the Alski Show, the_Alski_show. Give that page a follow. It's not as active as Alski OTC King, but each and every week the shows are posted there, and if you do subscribe, you will get notified every time a new show is posted on Sunday and any other day therefore afterwards. Thanks again, people. Be safe out there. This coronavirus is not a good thing, and remember, you know, if you have elderly people in the house, make sure they got what they need. You know, bread is scarce, toilet paper, Bounty, any toiletries whatsoever, any sanitizers and cleaners are fucking flying out the store. So like I said, do what you gotta do, get what you gotta get, be safe, and love the one you're with, man. All right, and I'm out like a trout, people. Have a great weekend.